This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
And welcome to our latest live edition of Road School Moms Radio. I am one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, full-time road schooling mom to four beautiful kiddos and three dogs, one of whom is very noisy. And I am coming to you live from beautiful, spectacular, sunny, stunning Grand Teton National Park. On the line with me tonight, as always, is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a homeschool and road school mama of four. And if we're going to count the whole rig, I guess we can say four kids, two dogs, two cats, and a hamster. We really want to add that all up. And we're still coming to you live from beautiful Southwest Florida, kind of one of our favorite places, and we're dragging our feet on launching for the summer. So we're here for maybe another Sunday or so. And, we're enjoying this weather. How about you?
Oh, you know, we have had similar, Florida weather. It's been very reminiscent over here in Jackson, Wyoming. They have these, 3 p.m. storms, just like y'all have in Florida. They're a little chillier, 54 degrees instead of the balmy 98 degrees. But it's been beautiful in the morning and beautiful in the evening. And today we decided to skip the storm. So it was beautiful all day. It's just magnificent. Have you been to Grand Teton, Mary Beth?
I have not, but, you know, just like with the rest of your summer travels here, you are hitting lots of places on my bucket list. That national park specifically was one that we had on our last trip out west that we didn't make. And the more people I see that go there, the more jealous I am that we haven't been there yet. I really can't wait to travel to someday soon, I hope.
Yeah, it is really spectacular here, and we did so many great things in this park. Truth be told, I didn't have high expectations for Grand Teton. That's probably why I love it so much. You and I talk about expectations all the time, and I want to also talk about expectations for my next destination. But first, like I said, I did not have big expectations for this area. We were in a holding pattern waiting for it to warm up and be pleasant up in Yellowstone. So we put Teton on our route, and boy, was I pleasantly surprised. There's so much to do, so much to see. The landscape is stunning. Dominic has turned around and said, I think this is my favorite park, Mom, which goes for a lot because we've been to tons and tons of national parks, and each one of them more beautiful than the next. But these Teton Mountains, they rise up from this valley floor in Jackson Hole, and they are just a sheer granite force to be reckoned with, covered with snow. It's just stunning. It's just amazing. Amazing.
Oh. Well, I've heard great things about that national park. Lots of people have told me, Sunny, you say that. Lots of people have told me when they talk about it that they always go there planning on just a few days or whatever, and they end up staying longer. So that's one of the reasons that we've had that on our list. Speaking of storms, I have to tell you that we lost power a couple hours ago, and everything I was working on, I can't find it. Yeah. So as we're talking, I'm frantically scrambling for the two or three links that I had on here, but we'll get it worked out over the next little bit. Gosh, we've had some crazy storms the last 3 days here, but, you know, typical Florida, it doesn't last long, but it's spectacular lightning in this evening. That's my road school review pictures. Has a double rainbow. It was so pretty earlier this evening. I love double rainbows. The telltale sign of good luck, right?
Absolutely. That's really good news, a double rainbow. Very cool. Well, I've been on our Road School Moms Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/roadschoolmoms, and I've seen that a lot of people had some pretty sweet weeks this week. I see the Denkins Road School. Oh, my gosh, that Gator. What a cutie. What a cutie. And I can see we went to D.C. and toured the mansion, which I don't know about. They celebrated National Donut Day, as did you. And it looks like they went on some nature walks. And then I scroll down and I see your Road School Week. Tell me a little bit about that. What did you do this week?
Well, let me tell you, I'm excited to tell you about that because you and I haven't really talked about this. We talk so much about rabbit trail learning, and I tell you, if you've listened to us very long, you know that I call my crew the Road School 101 crew because they really do a lot of research for me, and a lot of times I'll get on to a study guide that we may be writing for a road trip teacher, a copywork guide, and a lot of times one of my kiddos takes the lead, which is exactly what happened this week. We went to National Donut Day just for the heck of it, just because, we thought it would be fun to go get a donut. And before it was over with, we started on Friday morning, someone, I think it might have been Tadybug, said, I wonder where Donut Day started. Do you know how National Donut Day started, Kimberly?
I don't. Please enlighten me, road trip teacher.
Well, let me tell you, it is such a, it's an interesting story, and we actually have written a road school guide over the past few days, and I can't share the final copy with you tonight, but if you shoot me an email over to info@roadtripteacher, and this is good even if you're listening to one of our podcasts over on iTunes or from the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, just send me an email over to info@roadtripteacher, and we'll be glad to send you your free copy. But the National Donut Day was started by the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army was called in to, and I didn't know this, there's a whole story about this. First of all, so the Salvation Army was called in to assist in World War I when all of the troops were over there in France and had been on the battlefield, and there was just a huge amount of troops that were depressed and homesick, and it was this big conflict in the world, and so the Salvation Army was sent over there to help try to, boost the spirits and to provide care and comfort. And so in doing that, they started out by, what it started with was it was a group of hardworking women, and they thought they were going to deliver pies to the troops. Well, they got over there, and it wasn't very long before they figured out they couldn't do that because, number one, the food rations were really low, and the food supplies were low. That was part of the problem over there anyway with our troops and our allies. And then the next thing they encountered was, you're going to bake on the road. I mean, just think about that. Like if you wanted to, similar to what we do, right, you're going to go on the road and then all of a sudden you're going to bake. You don't really have the resources to do that, right, especially in something like wartime back in that back in that era. So what they figured out was somebody got the grand idea to fry donuts. And so what they done, they figured out how to fry donuts over a potbelly stove, and of course coffee was the automatic companion for that. And what happened was they started frying these freshly made donuts, and then they did it from just a few ingredients. And if you get our guide, we talk about what ingredients they had and how they did it. But the basics of it was once they started doing this, then out of these tents where they had set up their little operation was this grand delectable smell of these freshly hot made donuts and this warm coffee. And so the troops would start lining up, and this operation grew and grew and grew until this group of people were known as the Donut Girls from the Salvation Army. They started out being known as Lassies, and then eventually they were known as Donut Girls. And this tradition with the Donut Girls actually carried over to a lot of other wars that this country has been involved in, including World War II, the Vietnam War. As a matter of fact, there was even a little bit, now we didn't get this far into it, but Tyler actually found some information about somewhere along the line in the 60s, there was donut making. That's when donut making machines kind of came into play, within the industry. And so, like in the Vietnam War, there was actually donut girls with donut machines, and it was kind of quite the production. But what happened over the years with these donut girls was that the Salvation Army also realized that it was a really good, cheap way to feed a lot of people. It was a filling treat, and when you paired it with coffee, something hot, that it was a good way to feed the homeless. And so where our study guide took us after, just because we went to go get a free donut at Dunkin' Donuts before it was over with, by last night we had a whole write-up about, because the next thing was, Tori's asking, well, what's the Salvation Army? So, of course, we had to take it one step further and go back and see where the Salvation Army started, which it actually didn't even start in this country. It started overseas back in the mid-1800s. But we went back and done some research on the Salvation Army. And then we figured out how the donuts came into play with the Salvation Army, and eventually we came to the realization and the fact that National Donut Day was started in 1938. It was about the time, it was in the middle of the Great Depression, and the Salvation Army was trying to figure out a way to fund their social programs because they were trying to feed the hungry because there were so many, you know, hungry people, you know, across America. And what they'd done was they came up with this idea to do National Donut Day to raise funds for, you know, for their programs. And so that's what they done. And so eventually that, you know, it's, you know, it's always the first Friday in June, and it's been ever since then. But there really is a backstory, and it's really kind of interesting. So we have put a study guide together, and it's in editing right now and should be done hopefully by tomorrow. And it includes all kinds of word puzzles, and really I'll have to hand it to my guys because they did a lot of work in the last 48 hours. Not because of our show or because of for any actual reason, but more than they were just really excited about the information. And so I thought that was really going to work into what we're going to talk in tonight as we slide into our summer road school.
That is fascinating, Mary Beth. I am so excited that you guys asked that question and then went that far looking for those answers. That is really fascinating, and that's exactly what road schooling is all about, right? Where education meets adventure, or in this case, education meets donuts. Just perfect.
That's right.
Perfect.
Who knew? All I really wanted was just a light little morning out. You know, it was kind of our day off on Friday, and all of a sudden we were thrust into a great big craziness of learning. But, hey, it was, like you say, it was exactly what we're all about. And my thing is, and I know you're the same way, when one of your kiddos is excited about it, that's one thing. It's almost overwhelming when one of them is excited because they're so gung-ho and the rest of them, you know, could care less. But in this particular case, you know, every single one of mine were excited. And then maybe because of the fact that I told them that we keep doing donuts as long as we were working on the study guide, but, you know, whatever works.
Absolutely. That's a small price to pay. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Okay, so I'm going down, continuing down our list, and I want to take a break for a minute and tell everyone that this show has an official sponsor. We are officially sponsored for the next 3 weeks by Lippert Components, and what that means is you'll be listening to a brief message from our sponsor a few more minutes into the show, and we would really love if you would show our sponsor some love. And check out what Lippert Components has to offer people, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. As I go down the list, I see my road school week, which was very, very, very busy. You know, sometimes we go places and we do one or two field trips, right, Mary Beth? If you're in an area and there's not a lot to see, or you know, you're not really that interested, but we knew we were coming here and we knew we were going to just tear it up. So we have been out of the house every day this week, literally tearing up. We spent several days in the national park. It's a very large national park. There's a lot of different areas to cover. We did something so cool in this national park that I've never done before. We did a naturalist program. No, we did not get naked. There was nobody getting naked. Not that kind of naturalist. Some national parks, usually the larger ones, have this backpack that you can borrow from them. And if you go through my pictures from this week, I think you can see it. No, I don't have a picture of it. I'm sorry. It's a very large military-style backpack, and it's loaded with naturalist supplies. And a naturalist is someone who goes out and observes nature, whether that be animals or wildlife or plants, whatever. So we went to the Moose Visitor Center, and we borrowed the naturalist backpack. Each family borrowed one. They, like I said, they're quite large, and one had plenty of supplies for my four kiddos. It came with watercolors, water, plaster of Paris, newspapers, sketchbook, animal tracks guide, tons of paper to sketch and make your paintings with. It was amazing. And so one of the things they suggest is that you go out on a trail and you look for some animal tracks. When you find a nice deep one, you make a mold using the plaster Paris and the water that they provide and the instructions, you make a mold. And so the girls were really, really astute at finding these animal tracks, and we found a humongous, what we later identified as moose track, and we made a mold of it with the plaster of Paris. Fantastic. while we were waiting for our mold to cure, because it takes about 30 minutes for it to cure in that spot, and then you need another 24 hours for it to cure at home before you can remove it, the 30 minutes, we took a break outside a historic cabin, and all the kids did watercoloring, and the kids who did not do watercoloring quickly learned that you can burn paper with magnifying glasses, because there's magnifying glasses in those bags too. The bags are very reminiscent of the Road Trip Teacher Explorer bags, I might say, Mary Beth, but unlike the Explorer bags, which are really easy for the kids to travel with, this was a very, very big, bulky bag. So if you're going to go and borrow a naturalist pack, make sure one of your adults is not carrying a backpack already, because it was very heavy. The kids did a whole bunch of watercoloring painting, and I saw that Diane did a sketch in one of the log books, and we wore out that tracks page, that tracks book, looking at the animal tracks we found. It was fantastic. Fantastic. These are my suggestions. If you borrow the naturalist, again, make sure one adult is not carrying something already, and take it on a small hike. Don't get, super ambitious and take it on like a 3-hour hike. There was a little half mile hike out the back of the visitor center, and that worked out perfectly because we could hike a half mile with it, use all the supplies we needed, hike a half mile back, and drop it off. It's quite large. Have you ever seen that?
I haven't. I'm so intrigued, though. I haven't seen that at all. I didn't have any idea about that. It's funny, though, it's so funny how our lives are it's just so weird. I swear, I wish if I didn't have my phone plugged in for the mic for what I'm doing, I would send you this picture. On my desk lays a book that we just got earlier in the week before we got off on the donut day craziness. We were in a bookstore, and somebody picked up a guide that said Animal Tracks, Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. It's so funny you're talking about Animal Tracks. And I realized you'd done yours in the Naturalist program, which is really cool. But we, Tanner specifically, is so intrigued with these animal tracks. And so that was one thing that we started off on the beginning of the week. We didn't get very far with it. We ended up at the Calusa Nature Center earlier this week, which is somewhere we've been before. And if you're listening and you remember me talking about this a couple of times ago, and I know, Kimberly, you are a big proponent of this, just because you've been one time previously doesn't mean that if you get in that same area again, we've talked about this, right, KT? When you get in that area again, it never hurts to go back because there's, you know, you're going to learn something new every time you go. And it, especially, I think, in some sort of places, you can get overwhelmed by all the things there are to do. And so when you come back the second time, you know, you just get a little bit different view. And that's exactly what happened to us with the Calusa Nature Center. And we ended up, looking at all the animal tracks that were out in the mud because we've had a lot of rain down here. And so that's so cool. You were talking about the plaster of Paris, so the mold thing. That's maybe something we'll try to do this week. That sounds like so much fun.
You know, that plaster of Paris thing is not hard at all. As a road school mom who can be easily overwhelmed, if someone told me, hey, you should throw some plaster of Paris in your Explorer pack, you know, just in case, I'd be like, yeah, have a nice day. What is that? My name's not Martha Stewart. I'm not making animal tracks. But it wasn't hard. If you put a baggie of plaster of Paris in your Explorer pack, from the Road Trip Teacher, and you had your bottle of water already, because, you know, you bring bottled water on your hike, you wouldn't need much material to go ahead and make yourself, get your mix set up and be able to make the mold. The thing that was really different for me, you know, we've done several hikes, and so much of my life is hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, right, Mary Beth? And when you go on a hike, I'm still in that mode, like, got to get to the payoff, got to get to the end of the hike so we can turn around to the end, got to get to the... So sitting there waiting for a mold to cure for a half an hour, when I read the instructions, it was just about going to kill me. I'm going to hang out in this area for half an hour? But the kids loved it. Sitting down, getting their watercolors out, painting, you know, writing a little bit in the journal, because there's a collective journal in there, and so you can see what other people have written before you. It was just amazing. It was awesome. It was really awesome. I strongly encourage any of our listeners who have the opportunity to borrow that naturalist backpack to go ahead and do that. That was a lot of fun.
That's one thing that my kiddos really do enjoy. And when we were in Tucson actually last year, this is kind of where it started for my kids. Of course, they have a Road Trip Teacher backpack that they carry around with them, and it's got all the basics that we all have. But each of my kiddos have made their own nature journal. And it started in Tucson right after our road school rally that we held, our full-time families road school rally last year. And it's really funny how much they enjoy that. And they all do different things with it, which is what I love. And I think, you know, a lot of that comes according to age. But you bring up such a good point. I'm glad you pointed that out about just not being in a hurry, because what happens with my kiddos, if you'll stop long enough for them, they all always end up getting that out. And somebody will draw something that they see, and somebody else will trace maybe a leaf that they found, or you know, put crayons on some sort of a nut and try to, you know, make an imprint on the page. I mean, I've seen them do a lot of really cool things in that nature guide, their nature journal, I'm sorry, that they keep. And that's such a good point, because really it's just a good reminder to, you know, really take in all your surroundings and let them take the lead a little bit, because it really will help you see it through their eyes.
Absolutely. And like Catherine shared from Hiking Chicks last week, really aim low with your hikes. Aim really low. Aim for, remember she talked about that wow factor versus the effort, low effort to high wow factor. But, you know, kids are easily wowed. So a half-mile hike, that's a pretty good size hike, especially if you've got little ones with little legs and you really want to encourage them to walk the entire thing on their own and not be carried. Just aim low as possible.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Catherine, because, you know, you keep making fun of me, not really, but you keep jabbing me about the hiking thing. And it's not that I don't – we actually really enjoy to hike. I'm intimidated by it because I don't – I'm intimidated by it. I don't know why, it's silly. And the more I see you do it, and the more I see a lot of our other FTF families that do it, and we've had a couple of guests on the show that have really been encouraging. And so that was the best piece of advice that I've ever gotten from anyone, except for you, of course, was when Catherine said, aim low, you know, don't get all caught up in it. And so I think it was Monday, I can't remember, this week has flown by so much. Last weekend, yeah, it was Monday. We actually, I Googled it, where we were at, and, you know, hiking trails, I think is what I Googled. And I come up with like 25 in a matter of a couple of minutes. So I scrolled through it and I found the shortest one and the closest one. Those were my two parameters. I didn't look for the wow factor. I didn't look for anything crazy. I just looked for shortest and closest, and I found it over at Lover's Key, which we drove by a million times and never stopped. And we went over there for the afternoon. We were there for a couple of hours, and they so enjoyed it. I mean, they so enjoyed it. And so I hope that's the beginning of many more hiking adventures for us. But it's so easy to find, you know, clearly – you know, a national park or a historic site or a state park is going to have resources and places that you can hike. But there's a whole lot of other places that you probably don't even realize that are right in your own backyard, wherever you happen to be at.
Absolutely. You know, it's all due to my Fitbit, all these hikes, because I got to get my steps in.
You just had to say Fitbit. We're not even in the first 30 minutes. I knew you couldn't get through. It's 9:25. You couldn't get through the half hour and not say Fitbit.
I love my Fitbit. I love it. You know, my husband has a Fitbit, too. I'm always looking for ways to get my 10,000 steps in, and hiking is just a great way to do it. And the more we do it, like you, I was super intimidated by hikes in the beginning. We had a really little guy, too, that we had to put in a backpack, and packing food is not my forte, and making sure we have adequate supplies, not my forte. But the more you do it, the more you push yourself out the door, the easier it gets time and time again, and the older your kids get, the more they can handle on their own. You know, they can carry their own water now. With their little road trip teacher bags, they can carry their own exploration tools and stuff they like to play with. And they're really getting quite good at it, and we're really enjoying it as a family. And the slowing down part is really now the next step that I need to work on, because I'm still in let's get it done mode. But I want to take one break. And listen to a word from our sponsor, and then I want to come back and talk about sliding our road school into summer. Sound good, Mary Beth?
Yep, can't wait. We'll be back to you in just a few minutes.
Remember your last RV dumping disaster? Upgrade to the Wastemaster drain hose for a clean and easy sewer management solution. The tough Wastemaster hose is designed with a smooth interior so waste doesn't get trapped inside, and connects to your RV sewer outlet using reliable CamLock technology to ensure leak-resistant connection. The nozzle features a handle, shutoff valve, and clear view port that allows you to see when the hose runs clear. Find Wastemaster at your local dealership or find out more at LippertComponents.com.
And again, I want to encourage all our listeners to show our sponsor some love and go over to LippertComponents.com. We have one of those Wastemaster hoses, and we're going to be putting up a short video about it very shortly. It's awesome. It's a fantastic. It's really a huge step up in the whole blue tank, blue job, black tank world. And so I just encourage you to just go check that out. And if you decide to purchase, all listeners can get an exclusive discount at LippertComponents.com by using the promo code FULLTIMEFAMILIES, one word. So go ahead and go see what they have there. Check them out. And again, promo code FULLTIMEFAMILIES, one word. Very cool. So, Mary Beth, sliding our road school into summer. A lot of our road school moms have written into us in the last couple of weeks saying, do you guys road school all year round? What do you do differently in the summer? I want to do something differently, but I don't know where to start. And I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I've just, like, some people feel like they've just hit their stride and don't want to give up what's working, but they also don't want to burn out. So tell me, how do you handle summer road schooling?
Well, you know, and I think we talk about this a lot. We are specifically not adhered to any certain schedule. I mean, we're very flexible in what we do, and we may find ourselves not officially doing core curriculum for 3 or 4 days or maybe even a week or two. And so for me, it's especially even this year, and this comes with, you know, for us it comes with evolving when we're on the road. You know, we've talked about that before. The more you're on the road, the more you figure out your own stride. But for us, I just find that if we you know, we don't really ever stop road schooling. We just keep on road schooling. And I really have found that the summer, I look forward to road schooling in the summer because there's so many different opportunities that you can, you know, take. You know, you're outside so much more, and you know, there's just so many things to learn. And then, you know, it's the nature factor. I mean, you know, if you know, a lot of us winter somewhere where it's nice out, but still there's nothing like summertime, no matter where you're at in the country. And I just think that it's a great time to take advantage of what you can see outdoors. So we continue to road school all summer.
You know, Mary Beth, we also road school all year round, but I don't like to do it the same way all year round. In fact, I think I have 4 seasons probably of road schooling because I like to change it up. And summer, like you mentioned, is a great time to bring your road school as much as possible outdoors. And whether that means eating more outdoors, exploring more outdoors, playing games as a family outdoors, just being out in nature as much as possible is definitely a priority for our road school. Now, this naturalist thing that we just did really sparked my curiosity, and I thought to myself, if I just brought some watercolors with me and paint and actually did way more art, because we don't do a lot of art in our road school during the year. We work on mainly the basics, arithmetic and reading and writing, but we don't do a lot of art. And so I was looking for ways to incorporate more art into my road school. Do you have any tips for that?
I do, and I'm looking up, and this is one of the I hate it because I had this all set up for me before our power went out, but I'm looking for it right now. If you've joined us tonight in our chat, then I'm going to post this link in just a few seconds. If you're listening to us on podcast, then you just need to refer back to roadtripteacher.com and check out our podcast from tonight's show, because I'm going to put a link post up later. It'll also be available over at Full Time Families. Kimberly will post that probably not till tomorrow. That'll have the links on there from tonight's show. But one resource that I absolutely love, and you've seen me, if you have some of our study guides like Chicago, and I believe the one for Mount Rushmore, they both have chalk art series in those. And I think we've talked about this before, Kimberly. That's one thing that I absolutely love is the chalk art projects. And HodgePodgeMe, and it's just like it sounds, HodgePodgeMe. .me at the end, not .com, it's .me. She has a whole ton of chalk art, the pastel chalk arts that you can buy. They're just, we have a Crayola brand. They're not very expensive. Like, I think I got mine $8.99 or something for a set of them. But they're so fun because you, you know, it requires them to put their fingers on the page and kind of, you know, put their own pressure into it. So no matter how old they are, I mean, they can really get some good blends going on and then some really cool colors. And she has all sorts of different, you know, chalk art tutorials on her site. And I love that. It's a great resource. And I'm looking for, she actually has a summer series on there, and I'm looking for that right now that we'll be posting in the chat here in just a few minutes.
While you're looking for that, I'll expand on other things that you can do for the summer. And this goes for even if you're not a road schooler, even if you're not a homeschooler, if you are someone who's interested in this lifestyle and you still have children in school, summer is a great time to lead your education. It might not sound like such a great idea. Well, you know, the kids are off from school and who wants to take on education? But like Mary Beth just suggested with the donuts, it's not hard to ignite kids' curiosity. In fact, they do all the work. All you have to do is push them a little in the direction of research. And then they'll, you know, once that ball starts rolling, they'll keep rolling. And so for children who are specifically interested in history, this is a great time to go check out historic locations in your area and get more information about the history of your area, whether you're doing a staycation or whether you're on the road. Obviously, this country is teeming with history, from Native American history straight through colonization and then on to more pop culture. Just teeming with history. So why don't you go to some site, some place, and learn the history of that location? Or, as we talked about in depth, if you have nature boys and girls, national parks are just the perfect marriage of education and exploration for families during the summer, especially. National parks are wonderful all times of year, but specifically the summer, they have so many amazing programs, and you can find their ranger-led programs at each of the national park sites that they have listed on the website. And they have so many programs geared specifically towards school-age kids. In fact, I want to mention that this year is the 100th anniversary of our national park system, and they have this initiative called Every Kid in a Park, which provides fourth graders and their families a free nationwide annual national park pass. And then I put the link in the chat on how you can enroll your fourth grader into that program and get your family that free park pass this year, because that's, I think, an $80 value. Definitely you don't want to miss out on that.
You don't. And if you haven't, if national parks hasn't been on your radar, it's something that I highly encourage you to do. You know, a lot of us out here are, you know, have some sort of a theme where they, you know, they think they're, you know, they're going to try to do so many parks and you know, or hit them all or whatever in their traveling adventure. And if so, that's really cool. But really, no matter where you're at, there's a national park that has to be on your radar not far from you. It may not be in that exact part of the state that you're in at the time, but it's definitely something you should put on your radar, because what a wonderful, wonderful resource that has. And not only the national parks, but there are so many historic sites. I know Christy, Road School Mom Christy Smith, is on with us tonight. And I always am intrigued with her, because I swear they know how to just, you know, dig out every single historic site, you know, that there is along their trek. They don't miss very many.
Yeah, no, actually, Christy Smith and family have been working on a specific website. I don't know if she's ready to tell the Road School Moms. She'll post the link, but if not, coming soon, a specific site about the nation's Junior Ranger program and all the opportunities available within them. So, next thing, I love, I mean, all you have to tell me is that the largest ball of twine or the biggest roll of masking tape is around the corner from me, and I must go see it. I cannot help myself. Gotta go see it. And I absolutely love any kind of folk art collection, any kind of tchotchke collection, just you name it. People who have devoted their lives to building these off-the-wall collections, I just love that. And I happen to have a collector in my home, which unfortunately this lifestyle doesn't lead to a lot of big, large collections. But he really gets a lot out of it, too. So if you don't have a national park in your area, go seek out any of the folk art or Americana opportunities in your area. Like, oh, gosh, there's just so many. One of my favorite is Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo.
Oh, yeah, that's
where
what I was waiting.
Caddies are.
Yep, I was just waiting for you to stop because that's what I was going to say was that I think our first one that we hit when we were traveling was Cadillac Ranch. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Roadside Very America, cool. Right? Isn't that the – I just
yes.
posted the link if you're with our chat. There's so many you know, if you're looking for a quirky attraction, you can usually find it on there, right?
Absolutely. I that's a go-to for me. And I also love Road Trippers. And really what we're talking about here is kind of loosening up the reins for road school time and using the resources that are around us and in the great outdoors as more of our curriculum rather than having them study, you know, 4 or 5 hours in the RV and miss out on this beautiful weather. Bring your curriculum outdoors and utilize as much as you can around you. For studies, this area happens to have a national fish hatchery. So we went on a big field trip to the national fish hatchery, and we learned all about cutthroat bass. I think they're cutthroat bass. Cutthroat bass. And why it's important to have fish hatcheries and how many fish are involved in fish hatcheries. And it was just a very enlightening field trip. And then a lot of times what my guys will do is they'll come home and somehow assimilate that information. A lot of times it has to do with maybe making the fish hatchery on Minecraft. They'll do that a lot. Or drawing a picture of the fish hatchery or writing a small blurb about, you know, 5 things they learned at the fish hatchery. And that will count as their writing, and the field trip will count as their curriculum. Do you do those kinds of things too?
We do, and, you know, the more this has went on, the more that I really see that, for at least for me, my kiddos, when I kind of give them the autonomy to be self-led, it's amazing to me the kind of things that they'll do. And a lot of times they'll do, you know, just like on Friday, like I talked about. I mean, by the time we were done, we had really hit writing, we had hit language arts, we had done spelling, we'd done vocabulary, we had some science components in there. You know, Tanner got really interested in the whole donut making machine, so he went kind of down that road and got some science out of it. There was geography involved because in the very beginning we talked about, you know, where's France and, you know, where did these wars happened on what continents and things like that. So there was, you know, geography and a little bit of social studies, and we really did over the past 2 days hit all areas of the curriculum with just that. And it just doesn't take a whole lot of it just doesn't have to be complicated. And I think that's the biggest thing for us to remember is, you know, don't let it be so complicated. Learn and go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Learn and go. And more importantly, one of the biggest lessons, no matter what time of year it is, one of the biggest lessons you can teach your child, your homeschooler, is how to find the information that they're seeking, right? Keep asking questions your whole life through, but more importantly, how to find trusted resources, viable resources, resources that you can count on, because just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. And being discerning about your studies and how you find these this researching tool is one of the biggest gifts you can give your road schoolers. You know, it's not unlike, like, while we were driving home tonight, and Blaise said, what does that E equals MC2 thing mean? And I said, well, that's Einstein's theory of relativity. And that's pretty much it. It came up empty after that. MPS is squared, not two. And he goes, well, what does that mean? And I go, okay, here we go. And so, you know, thank God we have these smartphones in our hands and we can do this research on the fly and answer these questions while we're zooming at 60 miles an hour through Jackson, Wyoming. It's just an amazing time to be educating children and to be becoming educated.
Right, right. Well, you know, you bring up a good point. A couple of things that I want to add to about that is I do think that it's really important for them to understand how to look up information. It's so funny to me. We got in a discussion about this about a month ago in our rig about, you know, our kiddos, they don't really realize before Google, you know, that there were encyclopedias and that there were, you know, history books and you had to go to a library or go, you know, if you were in, you know, if you were in school, you'd go to the library or wherever to find this information. So I think it's really important for them to figure out, and let's face it, you know, as much as I want to be old school and, you know, I'd love for them to have, you know, all these resources and go get a good old fashioned book and get it out, whatever. The fact of the matter is that, you know, Google's probably not going away or some form of it. The Internet's here, and it's going to do nothing but probably expand, and who knows what it'll look like 5 years from now. But the fact of the matter is they really do need, whether, you know, you've got a kindergartner or whether you've got a high schooler in your rig, and they need to know how to find information. And like you said, I love that you mentioned that, you know, not everything on the Internet is the truth. You know, and that's something that, you know, if you haven't discussed that with your road schoolers, then now's a really good time to remind them and make sure that they understand that, you know, not everything on there is valid, and that, you know, how do you figure out if it's valid, and how do you, you know, check your resources. And for me, on my middle schooler, right, just in the last couple of weeks, we've really started talking about citing your resources and where did you get that information and did you get it from more than one source? And if you did you, you know, did you make a note of it? You know, when we're doing my road school guides for road trip teacher, you know, that's really important that I know we got the information. So that's something that we've really started hitting on, or at least I have with my older ones. About where did you get your information and how do you know that it's valid?
That's true, because as you mentioned, when we grew up and did research, we really only had valid resources to turn to, right? The encyclopedia, nobody questioned
exactly.
That. Magazine articles. And now that they have this amazing wealth of information at their fingertips, it's really important to be able to discern what is a viable source of information and what isn't. So that's definitely one of the big things that we harp on in our house. Where did you get that information? And can it be trusted before you start running off at the mouth?
Right, right. What about...
Go ahead.
Well,
I was thinking of having also what other road school moms might want to do for the summer is have one or two large goals where they, you know, wipe the slate clean and just accomplish these large chunks of a goal. Maybe it's having your third grader memorize all the multiplication tables, and that's what you focus on. And then you, you know, add in your reading and your more low-key curriculum, but really you maximize your studies in just one chunk area for the summer, because that's a great way to change it up. What were you going to say, Mary Beth?
No, we'll talk about what I was going to say in a minute. What you're saying is a really good point, and I think that's a great idea. Someone in one of our road school moms, it wasn't road school moms group, but it was something else. I might have been full-time families on that group. But somebody was just talking about that they had taken the summer to try to, they wanted everybody in their rig were going to learn the multiplication tables. And that's a really good point. You know, when you can really focus on one area of learning, you know, and you can incorporate it with everybody in your rig if your ages work that way, you know, what, you know, it's just a great time to, you know, not feel the pressure of everything else that you have going on and, you know, how many different areas and you know, take the opportunity in all the different places to utilize whatever you're learning. If it is multiplication tables, then, you know, go outside and take the opportunity to collect, you know, X amount of rocks and X amount of acorns and use those to play some kind of a multiplication game. I mean, that's definitely something that they'll remember for several days, and it'll spark interest to do something else along that line, and that's really what it's all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now what were you going to say?
What I was going to say, we talked a little bit about art. Now let's talk a little bit about music, because I can tell you that for my kiddos, and, you know, three of my four kiddos actually did have a public school experience before we started homeschooling. And so for them, the two things that they always talk about, the first thing they always talk about is art, and that's why I am so determined to keep art in our curriculum, no matter how complicated that I try to make it. I try to remember that it doesn't have to be complicated and try to do that. And the next thing that they always talk about is music. And for us, you know, we've talked a little bit about this before. My kiddos have taken some spur-of-the-moment guitar lessons, and they've done, we've talked about getting a keyboard and trying to do that, and we really never pursued that. And so one thing that I have found that I really like to use are called the Squilt Lessons. And Squilt is from a learner, from a website called Homegrown Learners. It's something that I just ran across about a year ago. And what Squilt stands for is Super Quiet Uninterrupted Listening Time. And so I'm posting that on the chat right now. And what she does is she puts together these curriculums. A lot of them are about composing. You know, there's like they'll study a certain composer. And it's designed so that you can have a little bit of time, quiet time. That doesn't mean that you're by yourself, but, you know, I do ours, our whole ring does it together. But, you know, that you know you listen to music and you get to, you know, study the composer. And a lot of times this Squilt lesson has an art component to it, too. And she does a lot of these. A lot of times she'll release them free or have, like, a free ebook on it. And so I'm posting that right now. Yeah, here we go. There. There that is in our chat, and I just lost my train of thought. What else was I going to say? Oh, about music. For me, when we talk about getting outside, that's one thing I love to do outside. We don't do this so much, you know, if the weather is inclement or whatever, it doesn't always work that way, but we've got a little, Taylor's got a, like an external speaker, so a lot of times we'll take this and go to the park or whatever and put that on the picnic table and everybody can get comfy wherever they want to get and you know, and take advantage of these Squilt lessons, and we really like those. And then when you can do it outside, it just kind of enhances the experience, I guess.
Oh, I love that. I love that idea. Music is really important in our house, too, and I use music for all types of things. And I'd love to add more music appreciation into our road school. So thanks so much for sharing that resource. And again, summer's the perfect time to mix it up, right? If you're not doing science all year, devote your June, all of June, to a science project. Go get yourself a book on, you know, kitchen projects and do that all the month of June, or all of July, devote yourself to, you know, whatever it is you want to learn about. That you maybe feel is lacking during the year, because during the year you've got other considerations, and summer is more of a free and fancy, light and fancy free kind of time of year. So utilize that mentality and bring that into your road school. And you know what? Your road schoolers will really appreciate the change of pace.
Yeah, they will. And one thing that what's the one thing that we do all year long, no matter what season we're in? And I love that you said that earlier, because I hadn't really thought of it, but I'll have to say that our homeschool probably also happens in season. You know, like right now we're not so focused on the core thing. You know, where I like to do the reading, math, and writing every single day, no matter what. We're doing core curriculum stuff in our rig. But in the summertime, I kind of veer away from that because I find that they do those things anyway. They just do them, you know, self-led, and so that's what I like. So I love that term that you use, seasonal homeschooling or seasonal road school. I like that. But one thing that I can tell you that we do all year long is reading, right? And I know that you have a rule in your rig that your road schoolers have to read so many minutes, so many days a week.
An hour a day every day.
And I think that's awesome. So what I've done, Kimberly and I have been working the last couple of weeks on some different resources. Most of them are printables that we put together that you can use for your summer road school. And I'm putting a sneak peek of that little packet of information. And if you'd like to have one of Kimberly and I's road school moms slide into summer learning guides, then all you have to do is email one of us, Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com or info@roadtripteacher.com, and we'll be glad to send that to you. In the meantime, if you're on with us tonight, here is a sneak peek of those that includes a reading calendar. And did you see this yet, Kimberly?
I have not seen it yet. I'm super excited about it. Can't wait. I'm opening it right now. Oh my gosh, the power of the internet is amazing.
That's right. Well, what this is designed, this is we created one of these for the next 3 months, so you'll have a calendar for June, July, and August. And every single day it gives you, and I'm trying to open mine right now, this storm really zapped our internet, I'll just tell you. take a minor minute to open. But what this is designed for, and it doesn't have to be real complicated, and it doesn't mean you have to follow this each and every day, but what it is just kind of a springboard for your readers. And like if you look at it, like what's tomorrow is the 8th. So tomorrow it says read in or under a tree. And the next day it says read about, read before you eat breakfast. The next day it says write a story and read it to someone. On the 11th day it says read about watermelons. The next day, dress up as a character in a story and read it aloud. And so as you can see, what it does is, you know, every day it gives them a little bit of an idea, some kind of a prompt on something to read. And it's, you know, it's not really designed to make them read an exact amount of minutes a day or making them, you know, read a certain type. It's just designed to give them a little bit of spice, I guess, into their reading. And if that's too much for you, you can scroll down and check out the Summer Reading Bucket List, which is just a one-page just a little tidbits that you can do over the summer. Some of them, like one of them says, listen to an audiobook. One says, you know, read a book about fireflies. And, of course, my favorite is the very last one that you could check off for the summer that says read in the national park. Most of those things in there are really easy to come by. And, it, you know, like you talked about, Kimberly, it gives, you know, if you're looking for a couple of goals this summer in your road school, then, you know, make reading one of it because we just think that's really important in both of our rigs. And also in the sneak peek, I included one of the road trip teacher scavenger hunts. If you've listened to me yammer on too many times about what we like to do, scavenger hunts is definitely one of them. I think we could figure out how to do a scavenger hunt 100 different ways. But this is one of our absolute favorites. And it incorporates a little bit of science and a little bit of all kinds of things, I guess, into the beach scavenger hunt with all different kinds of things that you can find. And if you're road schoolers, you know, this is another thing that you can really let them be self-led. One of my road schoolers, the last time we done that, took a Ziploc bag and she collected everything. But Tyler, he opted to take pictures of everything. And then when he got home, he downloaded all those pictures into some sort of a, you know, YouTube video or something. I can't remember. I mean, it really is a fun way, especially in the summertime, to road school because you can just kind of give them, you know, a single set of parameters and then let them go with it and just see where they end up. And I will guarantee you that however many road schoolers you have, you will probably have that many different conclusions to whatever it is you're doing because they all seem to like to give it their own spin.
Absolutely. And, you know, with these printables, sometimes I hear the word printable and I get a little nervous. But there's no wrong way to do it. This is, like Mary Beth said, a jumping off point, a place to start, a place to get your juices flowing. There's just no wrong way to do it. So take what you want, leave the rest, have a great time with it. And if you do use it, definitely drop myself or Mary Beth a note or post pictures of yourself, you know, doing some or all or none of the printables on our Road School Moms page. We'd love to see how that's working out for you this summer. The other thing we'd love for you to do if you enjoy this show is go to iTunes and give us a review. Mary Beth has a very generous offer, which she'll tell you about. The reviews really help us with getting this show out to more and more listeners. So if you could go there, give us a quickie review about what you love about Road School Moms. And if you want to give us 5 stars, we'd love that. And Mary Beth, what will you do for them when they tell you they've reviewed our show?
Well, all you have to do as soon as you give us a review it over at iTunes, and like Kimberly said, we love 5 stars, but even if it's not 5 stars, that's okay. Still give me an email at info@roadtripteacher.com. Let me know that you've just done a review with your email address, and I will be glad to send you your choice of any digital downloaded product from roadtripteacher.com.
I love that. That's so wonderful, and this is the perfect time for it with people crisscrossing this country on their travels. This is the perfect time to go over to roadtripteacher.com and find one of the printables that's on your route. Whole bunch of things going on at Full Time Families this week. I'm so glad that I have this my website up so that I can tell you about it because otherwise I wouldn't remember. Beginning of the week, we celebrated 5 years on the road. 5 amazing years. I can't believe it. I don't know where the time's gone. And we uploaded a video chock full of all the people we've met on the road. So the chances are good you'll see yourself in that road. And you can see at the YouTube channel, YouTube/ Full Time Families.
Another thing is, if you do not know, Full Time Families has its own scouting program. Many years ago, we had a Boy Scout in the house, and he really enjoyed scouting. He rode that was, I believe, behind. And one day he said to me, "Mom, why don't we have a scouting program dedicated to full time families' kids? You know, something that around RV living and the things we get to do on the road and get accomplishments and badges for the things that we do." And I thought, that is beyond brilliant. We'll do that. And we've put it together in the kids' support program. And once a month, our fearless leader, Laura Hamilton, names the FCF Explorer of the Month. And this month, it's a Bryce Basic. And he's going to get a limited edition FCF Explorer of the Month back in this week. It's called the FCF Explorer Program. We are hosting Flippert, our sponsor for Road School Moms. They are hosting a FCF annual Father's Day contest. It's super easy to get involved in this contest. All you have to do is upload a picture of the FCF dad in your rig. It can also be a father figure. It doesn't have to be. If your rig doesn't have, that's no problem. Father figures are more than welcome. Male mentors, whatever. With your kiddos, send us a picture, and the link is all on fulltimefamilies.com, and you could win the Wastemaster RV Sewer Management System we heard about earlier in the show. Again, if you don't want to wait to win it and you just want to go buy it now, go to LippertComponents.com and enter promo code FULLTIMEFAMILIES, one word, and you'll get an exclusive discount on those products. Let me see what else. Every week we publish the brand new FTF campgrounds. These are campgrounds that will waive the kid tax or additional person fee for your kids in your rig. And we have a dedicated director of that program, and she is doing an amazing job producing between 5 and 10 FTF campgrounds a week. You can go and see the latest campgrounds from this month, or you can see the entire directory of campgrounds at fulltimefamilies.com. Mary Beth, we're more than half pulled out with the rally.
I know, that's so awesome. You know, we've talked about this earlier, and if you haven't gotten the message, our not back to school rally is coming sooner than you think. It's just about 3 months from today. We'll already, Kimberly and I will be pulling in to Branson, Missouri, getting ready for our second annual Road School Rally this year, being held in Branson, the not back to school rally, and there are only 40 spots available for the rally. And when those spots are gone, they're gone. So if you have any inclination at all that you're going to join us, please, please, please get a hold of Kimberly so you can get your FTF registration and get your reservation made, because it is going to be an awesome event, and I can't wait.
I can't wait, too. Jill sent us a list of field trips, and we've got some of the greatest minds and coordinators working on this to make this the best rally to date. So I'm really excited about it, and she mentioned 40 spots, but really we only have 18 left. That's it. 22 spots gone. So if you want to join us, please go ahead and get your spot locked in so that you do not miss out on all the fun. And I think that's all I have at Full Time Families. What's going on at Virtual Teacher this week?
We knew, because we got thrust into so many things that were off the wall this last week. Road Trip Teachers is going to be really tying up some loose ends. We're going to be releasing our Salvation Army and All About the Donut Day. We don't even have a title for it yet. I guess we're still working on that. But we'll be releasing that first of the week. We're going to put the finishing touches on all of the printables that we put together for our summer road school resources. So that'll also be available this week. And if you haven't visited roadtripteacher.com, not everything over there is a sale item. There's several printables and all the kinds of different resource sources that you can get from our learning shop. And if you want to do that, you just go to roadtripteacher.com, click on, and you just click on the learning shop, and then you click on free printables, and it'll take you to a whole list of resources that you can get. Everything from a homeschool record to beach scavenger hunt, like I just posted tonight in our sneak peek, really is a lot of things over there available for free. And if you would like to try one of our study guides and you're an FTF member, I'm always glad to give a 20% discount for any digital downloads for all full-time family members. So anyway, there's that little infomercial for me. Really, that's all we've got going on. We've kind of got a full plate around here, and we're just going to be tying up some loose ends.
Absolutely. Very cool. I'm looking forward to this whole summer of shows. All our shows this summer will be dedicated to making the most of your summer road school, whether that's finding resources or finding really amazing attractions in your area, whatever it be. So tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m. time and really give yourself time, right? Beth and I talk about this every week. This is time, Mary Beth and I. We love this time because I close the door and I have one-on-one grown-up time with another road school mom, and it's just priceless to me. It really helps me refocus and re-energize and be totally set and on the ball for Monday. So give yourself this hour every night on Sunday night. Join us. Join us on the chat. If you feel intrigued and to join us on the phone, you can do that. You can just chat with us and we'll bring you around the line and you can tell us what you're doing with your road school. If you have something you'd like to present to a road schooling mom, we're interested in what you might want to bring to this audience. So please email me at Kimberly at fulltimefamilies or Marybeth at info@roadtripteacher.com and let us know what really interesting topics you'd like to present to our moms. We're all yours.
Right. Before we get off here, I don't know if you've seen this in your inbox or not, Kimberly, but I wanted to make a little mention of this. Last fall, Kimberly and I interviewed Jeremy Stewart, who was the him and his amazing crew put together the documentary called Class Dismissed, about homeschoolers. And that, since we talked to him, Jeremy, last fall, I believe it was, that movie was released. I think it was in 28 movie theater screenings around the country. It was included in 200 community organized events. It actually made it to 7 countries around the world. It was a huge success, and they just released it on DVD. So if you didn't get a chance to see it in some of the movie theater screenings that were around the country, you really ought to check it out. And if you want to, I'm going to post this here in just a second on our Road School Moms chat. We had a podcast with Jeremy. It's available over on iTunes, so go listen to that. It was really a lot of fun speaking with him.
It was. He was a great guest, and he shared a lot of great insights figured out by putting together that movie. So it's called Class Dismissed, a homeschool movie. Thank You Town is what our podcast is called for that one, and definitely go check that out and go ahead and check out the DVD. Good things, all good things. Well, that's all I've got, Mary Beth.
Yep. Well, we're slated to be back here next Sunday night, right, Kimberly?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. I'll be coming to you live, God willing, from Yellowstone.
Oh, you're making me so jealous.
You can hear you got wheels, too.
I hear you. We're going to meet up. We're going to meet up soon. If not before Branson, soon. Well, listen, that winds us up for this week here at Road School Moms. We are so excited that you joined us. As Kimberly told you, if you are listening to us from a podcast, please take just a few minutes to give us your review there on iTunes. And when you get done, shoot me an email at info@roadtripteacher.com so I can send you your free study guide. Until then, mark your calendar for next Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, no matter where in the world you are. Kimberly and I will be sitting right here, and we'd love for you to join us back. Until then, have safe travels, and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our travel.
The moderator
prayer.
Has left the conference.
Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.